Luke chapter 15. If you'll be turning to the book of Luke, we'll get into our message this morning. Greatest Father Ever is my title. Greatest Father Ever. And no, I'm not talking about me. Greatest Father Ever. This is the greatest probably example we have in God's Word, I think, of demonstrating how much God loves us in this parable that Jesus uses to describe the lost son. And it just shows that His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His understanding. And as we get into this, I hope it'll open your eyes to really see. Yeah, I say many times that the wrong picture of God, I think, is painted sometimes. And I think that's why folks don't respond to Him, because they don't know how much they truly love Him, love them. So Luke 15, this is the parable Jesus uses to describe the lost son. We're going to start in verse 11. And we'll go through 24. And this is, of course, Jesus talking. He said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of your goods that fall to me.' And he divided them into his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living." There's some key words in that verse. Journey, far country, wasted, and riotous living. He gave an example of a young man who took what his dad had, but didn't use wisdom with what he had. He went to a place he didn't belong. He went to a place he wasn't supposed to be at. And he spent his livelihood and what his father gave him on wicked, evil, sinful living. And he wasted this gift his father gave him. Now, as parents, I'm glad God shows us more mercy than we show our own kids sometimes. Aren't you? We love our kids, but there's sometimes, I mean, you heard D. I mean, we're singing this beautiful, sweet song, "Jesus loves all the children of the world." And she walks out and says, "Even my brats." You know, and so, we, you know, thank God he shows more mercy to us than we do to each other. And here he gives an example of a man who went to a far country and who wasted his substance. We know people that have lived their lives out of God's will, out of God's plan, for many, many years just wasted what God gave them on trying to please themselves. And I always say God's word is not to restrict us that we don't have no fun. That's not what the Bible's for. The Bible's not to say God's like, "Oh, you can't do that, nah, 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 can't do that." It's for our instruction because he knows what's best. Just like we tell our children things because we know what's best. They don't like to hear it, they don't always understand it, and they certainly don't always follow it. But then they find out, you know what, old mom and dad, they kind of knew what they were talking about. They wasn't quite as dumb as I thought, like Mark Twain said, right? He said, "One time I was 14 years old, I thought my dad was the dumbest man in the world. So when I turned 21, I can't believe how smart he got in 7 years. I mean, really think about that. We start realizing old Pop knew what he was talking about. Didn't always have to like it, didn't always agree with it. But you know what? He knew what he was talking about. Well, our father knows what he's talking about. This son goes, wastes his substance. He's in a faraway place. He's where he doesn't belong. In verse 14, when he had spent all that he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. When we spend all we have, and then we're sitting there with what is next? What do I have left? I'm void and I'm empty because I've spent my life sowing seeds in areas that don't really bring true joy, true peace, true happiness, true love. I don't sow those. I'm sowing in places that they don't really belong. This man has spent what he had, what his father had given him. Now he's out of money and he's out of hope. And he finds himself in a place of famine and being in need and being in want. What does he do next? What does he do now? What do? I don't have what I had, and now it's gone. Who do I turn to? Who do I go to? We have a father who is standing here with arms open wide today, who is waiting on his children just to come home and say, "Father, I come before you. I'm not all perfect, and I'm not all cleaned up, and I'm going to still mess up after I come home. I'm still going to mess up and make mistakes, but God, I know that you love me beyond my mistakes. You love me beyond my failures." I say this all the time, and this parable proves my point. I'm not just making this up. This is in the Word of God. People look at me funny when I say this because we've been so trained to think, ooh, don't say that. But think about this. We cannot out-sin the love God has for us. Now, I know we've been trained for so long. Every step I make, I'm going downstairs. The down button's being hit. Our kids, these brats, and I'm only repeating what she said. No matter what they do, she's going to love them. I don't care how much of a knucklehead they turn into, she's going to love them. I mean, your dad still loves you, right? Look at that. There's a parable. I mean, you know, Doc loves his daughter. No matter what D could do, there's nothing D could do that Doc would not love her. Now, he might hold his head down and go, oh, that girl. He might go on a two-week fast, slap a bunch of oil on himself and pray, you know, instead help D. I'm in Florida, Lord. I stand in fast for, you know, standing for D. Help her, Lord. But he's not going to stop loving her, ever. So we can't out-sin the love God has for us. And this parable proves this. Here was a guy who spent all he had. Now he's in want. Now he's in need. What does he do? He went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Now I know here in the South, pig is good. If you're not Jewish, pig is great. I get that. We like bacon, ham, liver mush, like it all. But understand the context of this parable. Jews were forbidden to eat swine, to touch swine, to look at swine, to oink like swine, to even talk about it. I mean, it was such a taboo. Swine was considered the most unclean. If you don't know what swine is, young folks, pig. Or hog. It was the most unclean possible thing a Jew could touch. This is why Jesus used this example to drive home the point. This guy had gotten so low, he was now taking care of pigs. He was a Jew. He's working for a Gentile. He's forsaken his religion. He's forsaken his own people and joined himself to where he didn't belong. Now, maybe you're in a place that you feel like that's where you're at right now. You're in the pig pen, so to speak. You're in a low place with no hope, no help. I don't know what to do. Let's see what happens to this young man. It says that he would have, verse 16, he would have filled his belly with the husk the swine did eat, but no man gave it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I love hearing all these babies in the church. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Yes, I'm awesome. Here, he is at a place that he can't even feed himself. But something happened. He remembered who his father was. He remembered what old dad had. He remembered when I was at home, things were a lot better. And if I can go back home, things will be better again. There comes a point in our lives, whether you're 16, whether you're 45, whether you're 70, that you come to yourself. I know Joe Brown shared about his father at Primetimers Thursday, and I did show up. Don't tell Bill Fuller about it. I did show up only because it was Father's Day, and I wanted to honor my mom and my dad and be there Thursday morning, so I came. But Joe was sharing about your father, that he didn't give his heart to the Lord until how old, Joe? 72 years old, he came to himself. For some of us, it takes longer, doesn't it? Because we don't want to listen. We want to do it our way, on our time, and nobody can tell us what to do. I got that trait from my mama and my daddy, and I'm proud of it. Well, that's fine, but stay in that prison if you want to, or that, you know, whatever. But when you come to yourself and realize, you know what? I've got a father, a heavenly father, who has all that I need. Why am I struggling trying to find peace when he has it? Why am I struggling trying to find joy in my life when he's got it? Why am I struggling with depression and discouragement and fear whenever he has cast out all fear? Why do I stay in this place? I'm going to come to myself and realize I've heard about this God. I've seen things about this God. I've heard mom and dad talk about this God. It's time that I find out about this God. So, Lord, I don't know everything, but I know you're real. I believe in you. And, Lord, I want to come home. Will you take me? And the Bible says, in no wise will he cast or reject anyone out that comes to him. We do that as people sometimes, don't we? Somebody walks into church and what are they doing here? They don't belong here. Look how they look. Look where they come from. Look what they're wearing. Look at the colors of their hair. Whatever it is. And we get so hung up on the most ridiculous things that we fail to see the love of the Father. You know how people see the love of the Father the best? Through us. We live by example. My children, growing up, one of them's still at home, the other two's out. Growing up, the best thing, the best example I could be was not what I said, but what they saw. What they saw in my life, how I lived my life, how I treated their mother, how I treated them as a dad. And yes, I made mistakes with my brats too sometimes. That's for sure. But it was always out of love. I made mistakes out of love because I was worried or I was afraid or I was, you know, scared. And so sometimes we overreact in ways we shouldn't, but it's because we love them. I'm thankful that we have a Father who loves us no matter what pit we're in today, no matter what we're involved with, no matter what we're attached to. When we come home, he is waiting to say, "Welcome home." You don't have to do something first, other than, as we'll read in a minute, I don't want to give it away. We'll get to it. Verse 18. I will arise. I will go to my father. I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." This is the part that's hard for us as humans. We don't like saying we're wrong. The old country saying, eating crow, right? We don't like eating crow because eating crow means we were wrong. Well, guess what? There's times we're wrong. And when we can come clean and acknowledge our failure, acknowledge our sin, acknowledge our shortcoming, and say, "I've sinned against you, God. I've sinned. I'll arise," and he had his whole speech prepared. "I'll arise, I'll get her daddy, and I'll tell him, 'Lord, I've sinned against you.'" And his heart was right. This was an example of, well, he just out of money, so he's going to hit up old Pop. His heart was right because he says, "My dad's got hired servants." Remember, he was a son. He was an heir. He says, "I'll just go back and at least be a servant. I just want to get back in the right graces of my father. I want to be back home where I belong. I made a mistake. I messed up, and I want to come home." Acknowledgement's very important, that we acknowledge our failures. It's okay. None of us are that good that we don't mess up. And it's so much easier life when we're humble and say, "Lord, forgive me, and I'm sorry." It's a lot easier to live in peace than it is to live in animosity. It's easier to be humble than it is to be arrogant. And there are some folks, man, they would drown if they walked outside in the rain because they can't humble themselves to say, "You know what?" People say, "Well, I don't believe in original sin, Pastor. What's there to be born again from?" Because, I mean, you're telling me that little cute little girl right there, she's born in sin. Oh, yeah. Do you have to teach your little baby how to be ugly? No. She fusses automatically. Swatch her hand. Some of y'all do that as adults. You just don't get caught. Yes, mom and dad have to teach that little girl, you don't swat at mommy and daddy. You don't roll your eyes. You don't talk back. You don't raise your voice at me. You don't slam your door and walk away. I mean, we have to train them that. All that's automatic with little babies. It's automatic. That's why they call it the terrible what? They call it that for a reason. It's like all of a sudden they just find out, oh, I can do what I want because I'm cute. And don't you love the fake crying they do? You ever seen a kid that fake cried? Yeah. Be quiet. And they stop on dime. Fake. Fake crying. They learn to manipulate at a very young age. Oh, they learn to manipulate. They wrap themselves around your little heart, and they, if we're not careful and don't train them the right way, they can go the other way. So we have to train them. So yes, we're born in sin. That's why it's natural for us to do what's wrong, and it's harder for us to do what's right. I told you a story last week or a couple weeks ago where a guy went by me on the interstate, and I promise there's times I do things wrong. I get that. But I would do nothing wrong now. Mind my own business, driving the interstate. I'm fine. Not weaving, going straight. I don't know what this guy's problem was. He come by, laid down the horn, and gave me a very ugly sign language. Me and Melanie, we looked, and we went, just smiled and waved. I bet that just heaped coals on his head. Don't they know I'm mad at them? Yeah. Just waved and smiled. Now, I know it's easy to react in a negative way because that's what we're born with. And we need the Holy Spirit to help buffer that. And we can. We can't blame our genes all the time, church. It's time to take responsibility. Say, you know what? I serve a heavenly Father who died for me, who's empowered me with his Holy Spirit. And so, yes, I can overcome things that I say I can't if I go to the Father, if I trust him. So I've sinned against heaven and my Father, and I'm no worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your hired servants. So he had his whole plan in place. Verse 20, as he arose, he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Picture this visual. How many times as people do we want folks to go through a third degree before we restore them? Well, you got to do, 10 Hail Marys, or you got to do 3 weeks of fasting, or you got to tell them you're sorry 22 times, or you got to, prove yourself for 3 weeks, and then maybe I'll talk to you. As soon as the father saw his son coming from his journey, he ran to him, showed him compassion. He did not fuss at him. He did not condemn him. He did not judge him. He received him. This is the love our Father has for us. And this is the greatest love we can show other people, that we receive them. That's why in the very beginning of this ministry 16 years ago, that we put on our, it's on our church van written on both sides. I think it's both sides. A place where everyone is accepted. And we stuck to that. Now I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, does that mean you accept sin? What do you own this morning? Of course not. What it does mean is we accept people as they are, and then we preach the word, and we just let the Lord and the Holy Spirit do what needs to be done. So many people don't receive that Father's love where they go because it's a click. You got to look like me. You got to be mobile. You got to what? It's just, I told a story of this. I had a guy, little Carl Scapero. Some of y'all remember little Carl. Remember this, Joe? He was a young man in his early 20s. He was going door knocking with Joe. I put him with Joe. Bulldog Joe right there. I put him with the Deacon Joe. They're going door knocking. Little Carl came to me. He had a couple little earrings in his ears. He says, Pastor, does it bother you I wear earrings? I said, what does it bother you? He said, well, I mean, he's asking for a reason, right? I said, does it bother you? He goes, well, I mean, no, I just don't want to offend you. I said, well, if it don't bother you, don't bother me. I said, go door knocking. Serve God. He came in 3 weeks later. He said, look at me, Pastor. I said, what? I took my earrings out, which it ain't a big deal to me. It really isn't. But he said, I took my earrings out. I said, why? He goes, well, I just feel like I didn't need it no more. Isn't it amazing how we just love people and just let the Lord do what the Lord does best? Things work out. I mean, it just doesn't. We get so hung up on everything but the Father's love. If we would love like the Father loves this son. Here he was. Think about this. He took your money. He took your livelihood. He took his heritage, and he blew it on riotous living, sinful living for himself. Then he has the audacity to come back home. And many of us be like, really? Are you serious? Now you're coming home? But not the Father. He's trying to teach us an example. No matter what faraway country you've been in, no matter how many swine you have fed, no matter who you've been attached to or what you have done, the moment you say, Lord, I have sinned against you and I want to come home, he welcomes us with arms open wide and a kiss on the neck and says, yes, come home, son, come home, daughter. All is forgiven and all is forgotten. Hallelujah. That's the Father we serve. We don't let go of things. I'm so glad God doesn't forgive like we do. We give conditionally. We forgive conditionally. But God forgives unconditionally. None of us was on the earth when he died. And he knew all the mistakes we would make. He knew Barbara Childs would be born and what a challenge that would be to watch over her. But yet he died for her. And here she is, a daughter of God. We're going to make mistakes after we give our heart to Jesus. And I think that's where people fail to relay things. This is the power of grace. Grace is able to keep us always if our faith's in that grace. Because, Lord, I know I can't get there on my own. I know, God, I can't earn it. I know, God, I can do nothing that'll be good enough to stand your presence holy. Because the Bible says that all have come short of the glory of God and all always will come short. Hebrews 10. I always tell folks, read Hebrews chapter 10. It's a great chapter about our redemption. That he went in one time for all people forevermore. One time for everyone forevermore. One price paid, one sacrifice. Priests would stand there daily ministering to try to take away sin, but they couldn't take away sin. But this priest, this Savior, went in behind the veil one time for mankind, and that one offering is enough to redeem humanity. If we would just say, Lord, I believe in that, and I have failed and come short, will you receive me just like I am? We got to be careful of putting perimeters on people of how they come to God. We're too busy to tell them everything they got to change whenever we get to the altar. Let's just let them get to the altar and get to the house of the Lord and then let God do the rest. My job, no minister's job, is to condemn and judge. Our job is to speak the good news of the gospel. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, convicts, chastises those that it loves. We know what's right and wrong. Even little babies know. Even that little girl, how old is she now? 11 months. She's 11 months too? We got two 11-month-old babies. Isn't that cool? Wow, it's weird. A boy and a girl, both 11 months. I know, we ain't forgot you. That 11-month-old already, in her subconscious, knows right from wrong. She already knows. She knows. She's hit you. See, she knows. She's about, yeah, she's about, you know why? She's like, yeah, she can't hit me, I'm too cute. About time mom backslaps her. I know Melanie's stepdad, when she was younger, she shared it, spanked her one time, I think. Melanie challenged him. How old are you? 8 or 9? She challenged her stepdad. Said, I wonder if he really would spank me. She challenged him. Well, guess what? He did. And guess what? She got no more spanking after that, ever. That little sin, little sweet Melanie, 8 years old, little devil come out, didn't it? I'm going to challenge him. He won't whoop me. I'm his stepdaughter. He can't tell. You're not my dad. Yeah. He became dad real quick, didn't he? Yes. But it's funny that we know right from wrong. And so what the whole point of saying that is this, that we don't need a preacher telling us that. We need a preacher sharing about our Heavenly Father and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. The Holy Spirit will draw. The Bible says no man can come to the Father but by Him, and the Spirit draweth. You'll know. You'll know. So he kissed him on the neck. Let's see what happens in verse 21. The son said to the father, I've sinned against you and heaven and am no more worthy to be called your son. Such a heart of humility. But the father said to his servants, see, I love this. Church, we see no judgment here in our Father. We see no, you got to pay a price for what you've done. We see a complete restoration here. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Why was he so happy? Verse 24. For this my son was dead. He is alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. It's time to be merry. We're celebrating this. Man, some of us don't celebrate that. Yeah, they go to the altar. Yeah, they ain't changed none. Yeah, well, God ain't gonna forgive them. Or, yeah, they ain't really who they say they are. We should rejoice and be merry when someone that's lost comes home. It's a celebration. We've had those phone calls through the years. I remember my grandma or Barbara shared this at primetime or Thursday morning about my grandpa. He went to a tent revival and got saved. He wasn't saved before that. He was not living like a Christian at all. I mean, he wasn't a bad dad, or you know, but he wasn't living like a Christian. Went to tent revival, came home. Barbara says she remembers, you know, hearing it at night, come in all excited, all happy, telling grandma, his wife, I got saved tonight. I got saved. Called his mama on the phone, his little old mama, my grandma Minton, my great-grandma Minton, called his mama. Says, guess what, mama? I got saved. I got saved tonight. And according to Barbara and mom's story, I've heard this my whole life, they could hear grandma on the background, the phone, woo, praise the Lord, woo, you know, just all excited. Not one time she say, it's about time, you bonehead Roy. It's about time. Took you long enough, didn't it? Did you really get saved? Now tell me about it. Did you really get saved? Was it a Baptist tent revival or was it Pentecostal? Did you really get saved? None of that was the thing. She rejoiced that he had come home because she had prayed for years for that. A son that was dead is now alive. A son that was lost is now found because Jesus took my grandpa like he was. He walked in that tent a sinner, and he walked out as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He walked in lost, he came out found. He walked in empty, he came out filled because Jesus took him like he was. That's the love of the Father. When he draws us, it's a beautiful thing. He celebrated. My son has come home. This is the love of our Father. He loves you that much. No matter where you're at, what place you're in, when you say, Lord, I acknowledge I've sinned before you, and I need you to be my Father, will you adopt me? Oh, yeah. The Bible says we've been adopted into the family of God. We're heir of God, a joint heir of Christ. I've been adopted. I'm an heir of God now. I'm a child of God. Here's the thing. Even when we don't act like a child of God, we're still a child of God. That's right. Even when Maverick don't act like a how you want him, he's still your child, right? You're not be rolling your eyes. You go, so get it. When you get home, you go, so get it. But he's still your child. You still got his hand. Deacon beat him half the inch to his life. But nobody else can touch him, can they? That's how it is. That's my child. Don't you lay hands on my child. Yeah, but I know. Don't worry. I'll beat him when I get home, but you can't touch him. You can't touch this. I will spare you. You're going to see Hammer dance today. I do a really good Hammer. I'll spare you that. I got family here. I got my family here. I'll spare you that. I want them to be proud of me. Well, that's true. Yeah, that y'all didn't see, but it wasn't a church setting. So anyway. I'm thankful for our Father who loves me unconditionally and who forgives me no matter what place I'm in and no matter what I've done. From the lowest darkness of sin to what we call the big sins. I love that. But we do. We categorize sin, the big sins, right? And God brought me out. And God saved me. And God loves me through it all. You don't have to remain in the hog pen this morning. You don't have to stay in that place of loneliness and that place of despair. You can come out and you can come home to the Father. Marty, come on up here. We want to close out with some prayer this morning, and then we don't go anywhere. We're going to honor all the dads. We've got a drawing to do, so you don't want to miss that. But I want to offer this opportunity this morning. We've seen the greatest example of our Father's love for us, how powerful it is. That no matter where we are, no matter where you're at today, people say, well, I'm not ready yet, Pastor. I'm just not ready. You're never going to be ready. Not in God's eyes. As far as, you know, being good enough. It's just like, I come like I am. And God, I'm tired of being where I'm at, and I need some peace. And I need to feel like I'm home. I'm in a far country this morning, Lord. Just bow your head, if you would, for a minute. If you are here this morning, and you want to come home today, you want to come to Father's house, you're tired of being far country, you're tired of spending all that you've had, you know you're not where you belong, there's more for your life. I want to open the altar up this morning. Come up here and talk to him this morning. And say, Lord, I acknowledge my sin, and I want to come home. Because he is standing here right now with arms open wide to celebrate and to receive you as you are. As you are right now. You need some peace. You need some direction. You need some hope. You need salvation. You know you need salvation. You know that you're lost right now. You need to be found. You don't have to have all the answers today. You just got to know who the answer is, and that is Christ is the answer. As Marjorie sings here, I want you to come talk to him if he's drawing you and say, Lord, I want to come home. I accept you, Lord, as my Savior. I want you to be my Father from this point on. God is dealing with you. Come talk to him. Pray. Get things right today. Say this prayer. Pray for the one you're holding hands with. Lord, we're locked hand in hand today in this body. We know you're our Father, and we are thankful. For those that don't know you as their Father, I pray, God, you will call them home, that they will hear your voice. They will know the love you have for them, that no shame, no past, even no present bondage is able to stop the love you have for them. Let the love that's in this place today and the love for the ones that are holding their hands be a breakthrough point in this sanctuary. Let it be a breakthrough, God. Let all the chains of guilt and shame and pain and regret fall down right now as we pray for the ones we're holding, that you fill them with peace, strength, love, joy, power, and victory in the name of Jesus, God. We are praying for everyone in this sanctuary to come home and to be part of your kingdom that is eternal. And we thank you that you are the greatest Father ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated for a minute. Get all the dads up here right now, if you would, if you're a father.